Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
To the United States now, where President Trump has announced significant changes to his inner circle. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz is stepping down from his post amid growing scrutiny, while Secretary of State Marco Rubio will now temporarily take on that role, adding national security responsibilities to his portfolio. Joining me to talk us through this and another extraordinary day in Washington is Simon Marks, Chief Correspondent of Feature Story News. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Philip. Never a dull moment here.
I'm sure not. It must be very hard to stay abreast of everything. Explain what's going on here with Mike Waltz. Sacking him before appointing him UN ambassador. Can you explain what message Trump is trying to send here?
Yeah, well, I have to say it was a head-spinning day because, the timing of Mike Waltz's departure from the National Security Advisor position is the interesting thing here. I think we all knew that eventually Donald Trump was going to move against him because it was Mike Waltz, of course, who first reached out and made that contact over the Signal messaging app with the respected journalist Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor of The Atlantic here. It's never been explained why Mike Waltz wanted to connect with Jeffrey Goldberg in the first place. White House insiders suspect that Mike Waltz may have been planning to leak information to Jeffrey Goldberg, as, government insiders traditionally do to Washington journalists. But then, of course, Mr. Goldberg found himself inadvertently added to that group chat on Signal in which senior figures within Donald Trump's administration, notable among them the Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, trafficked in classified information relating to the March attacks that the United States at the time was planning and then carried out against Houthi rebel targets in Yemen. And so Jeffrey Goldberg was able to observe all of this and then in that bombshell piece on the 1st of April in The Atlantic revealed that he had seen these classified conversations taking place over an encrypted but nonetheless publicly available messaging app that is not believed to be especially secure. So at that point, it became pretty clear that Mike Waltz's days as National Security Advisor were numbered. I think Donald Trump wanted to get him over the 100-day mark, having endured an embarrassment in his first administration when his then initial National Security Advisor, General Michael Flynn, was forced to resign after only 24 days of the Trump administration. I think Donald Trump viewed it as important to try and get to the 100-day mark. So we started the day yesterday believing that Mike Waltz was being ousted, that finally reality had caught up with him. And then we discovered several hours later, after Donald Trump had sort of left Mr. Waltz twisting in the wind, that in fact Donald Trump plans to send him to the United Nations as ambassador. That, of course, presumes that Mike Waltz can now win Senate confirmation that is required for that post. I think it's more an indication of just how little interest Donald Trump really has in the United Nations and a sort of a lack of concern about making that UN ambassador's position a particularly high-level appointment. But it also, I think, demonstrates some degree of loyalty to Mr. Waltz, who, of course, gave up a safe seat in the House of Representatives to join the Trump administration. And were he simply defenestrated, it's very unclear what he would be doing next.
Okay. Excuse me for finding all of this a little bit incoherent, though, because I still don't understand. Is Mike Waltz being demoted? Is Mike Waltz being protected?
Well, J.D. Vance, the vice president last night, stretching credibility to its limit, actually argued on Fox News that Mike Waltz was being promoted. although quite why Donald Trump would choose to promote him, let alone in this fashion, was very unclear. Look, I think it's absolutely apparent that Mike Waltz is leaving the inner sanctum. He's not going to be a prominent voice around Donald Trump's cabinet table. Indeed, in that somewhat North Korean-style cabinet meeting that we all witnessed earlier this week, it was notable that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was sitting right next to Donald Trump, whereas Mike Waltz was sort of confined to the outer reaches of the cabinet table, all the way down at the other end of the room. And given that we now have to engage in a bit of Kremlinology here to understand precisely what's going on, that seemed to be a symbol that Pete Hegseth, the defence secretary, is a survivor and Mike Waltz is not.
All right. So is this then perhaps an attempt to draw a line under Signalgate in a way that allows Pete Hegseth to keep his job?
Yes, but it's going to be very difficult to draw a line under Signalgate if Mike Waltz is going to face confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill to become the next US ambassador to the United Nations, because Democrats are now salivating about the prospect of pinning him down in those confirmation hearings about what went on in that group chat. So this is not a risk-free strategy for President Trump. I think it's also worth making the point that it's notable that instead of replacing Mike Waltz, he's sending Marco Rubio to, on an interim basis, head the National Security Council, but also run the State Department. Okay. That's the first time that's happened here, as far as I know, since Henry Kissinger became the first person simultaneously to hold both roles. And I'm told by some former officials that in his first term in office, Donald Trump always wanted just one person heading both the National Security Council and the State Department. So let's see how long this interim arrangement goes on for.
I looked it up, Simon, and you are right. It is the first time since Henry Kissinger held both of those posts that this has happened. And I don't want to ask this question in a way that lionizes Henry Kissinger, but Marco Rubio ain't no Henry Kissinger when it comes to spinning those two plates simultaneously. Is this a wise appointment?
Well, I think it's a curious experiment more than anything else because, I mean, first of all, Marco Rubio now has four jobs. He's the Secretary of State. He's now going to be the interim head of the National Security Council, the interim National Security Advisor. He also is the acting director of whatever is left after Elon Musk fed it to the wood chipper of the US Agency for International Development. I don't think that's taking up too much of his time. But also, oddly, he is the acting archivist of the United States. They haven't appointed an archivist, so Marco Rubio is supposed to be overseeing what happens to all of the classified documents that are supposed to end up in the National Archives, all that kind of stuff.
There's an episode of The West Wing in which the importance of the archivist was highlighted. I can't remember what on earth it was, though. But anyway, he's a busy man, is what you're saying.
So he's a very busy man, but I think there has always been this curiosity about splitting the sort of the key foreign policy role between these two institutions, right? The State Department and the National Security Council. And Donald Trump, a man who's trying, he says, to stamp out fraud and waste in the US government, may be saying to himself, well, why do we have these two parallel structures? What's the point of the National Security Council, which, of course, serves the president directly and works out of the West Wing, but also the State Department? And why don't you just embody everything in one person?
I want to turn our attention briefly, if I can, to tariffs and what is possibly be going to be the earliest mention ever of Christmas on RT Radio on the 2nd of May. There are concerns now that these tariffs could impact the cost and the availability of stock being ordered for the Christmas season in the United States. President Trump had this warning for those who were concerned about Christmas.
And look, right now, and I told you before, they're having tremendous difficulty because their factories are not doing business. They made $1 trillion with Biden, $1 trillion, even $1.1 trillion with Biden selling us stuff. Much of it we don't need. You know, somebody said, oh, the shelves are going to be open. Well, maybe the children will have $2 instead of $30, you know, and maybe the $2 will cost a couple of bucks more than they would normally. But we're not talking about something that we have to go out of our way. They have ships that are loaded up with stuff, much of which, not all of it, but much of which we don't need. And we have to make a fair deal. We've been ripped off by every country in the world. But China, I would say, is the leading candidate for the chief ripper offer. There has never been a country that's been ripped off more than the United States of America under some of the dumbest leadership. And it usually starts with the president.
Simon, the man who ruined Christmas headlines just kind of write themselves here, don't they? How is this playing?
Well, the difficulty with what President Trump said there, apart from the general Scrooge-like nature of it and telling Americans that they should give their kids two dolls instead of 30 and be prepared to pay more for them, is that it's a concession by Donald Trump that his trade policy is inherently going to be inflationary, which, of course, is something that previously he's pushed back against. He said that, well, we'll simply build all of these manufacturing plants in the United States to turn out the products that we need. That is obviously not going to happen in time for Christmas. It's also apparent that Christmas orders are being placed now by the big retailers, and they're very hesitant about the orders that they're placing because of the uncertainty that the trade war is creating. And China, as you know, and as he said there, is holding up shipments, holding them back because they're waiting to see if the tariffs can be negotiated away. So the difficulty with what Donald Trump said there is that it proves that he kind of accepts that his trade war is going to be inflationary, is going to lead to hardships for Americans, and that is not something that he has been especially frank about in the past.
Simon Marks, Chief Correspondent, Feature Story News, thank you very much for joining us this morning.